Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, bless us, O God, in the warnings that you're sending out to your people to preserve them in the days to come. Thank you so much for your mercy towards us, O Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of your children. Amen. All right, I am going to share with you a wonderful bunch of revelations here and concerning the things that are coming, what we can do about it, and who God is going to preserve through it and who he's not. So anyway, this will be the Faction Election War 1, number 3. Okay, and this is a revelation given to Isaac Payne on 11/29/20. It's all about overturning of the battleground states. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Isaac said, in the dream, Garrett Crawford and I were sitting on my bed watching television. Garrett's dad was sitting on the floor watching the television with us as well. And, of course, what they hear is only thing you can find that on is the TV, because if you're watching TV, you're wasting your time. And they're going to lie to you. Okay? That's the mainstream media bought and paid for by the deep state. We were watching the news, and a huge story was unfolding that Pennsylvania just overturned in Trump's favor by a margin of like 500 plus votes. Oh, sure. Also, states such as Michigan, Georgia, were also overturned by very small margins. And as I was watching, I knew that the media were lying about the amount of votes that overturned the states. They were trying to do damage control because, in actuality, it was a landslide in every state in Trump's favor. I believe that they were trying to instill anger in the left to prove that our election system isn't broken. But, of course, everybody knows it is. They're desperate. And there's desperate means going forth to bring down the right, okay? As these states were overturned, it was nighttime, and a reporter was reporting of the current events, and in the center of the crowd, Trump stood very confidently and with a smirk on his face. And when I saw this on the TV, I jumped off the bed and pumped my fist with excitement. I said, I knew it! Garrett remained on the bed very calm and the entire time just watching as everything unfolded. His dad looked up at me and said, does this make you happy? I don't know what he was complaining about, the low vote or whether it was the right was going to win. I don't know. I said, yes, I'm happy about the fulfillment that God showed us. All of a sudden, I transported in my dream to Virginia. And there was a black lady standing in front of a crowd in the inner city. The crowd consisted of Antifa, BLM, and Democrat citizens. I believe the city was Richmond. Okay. Now here it comes, the sword. She said, we will not comply with the overturning of our election, and we will count every vote, meaning all the votes, whether they're legal or not. Right? Of course, that's what they did before. there were 1.5 million votes cast in this city for Biden, which I knew wasn't possible because it didn't have that many registered voters. Suddenly, again, I was transported in the inner city, and I believe this was Richmond. But I know that in my dream, it represented cities across the nation. It was nighttime in the city, and BLM and Antifa were burning the city down, overturning cars, breaking into locally owned businesses, and looting. Everything was on fire. Okay, here's the fire and the sword here we're seeing that we've been warned about. Suddenly, again, I was translated to the front yard of some courthouse in the county, in the country. And there was a tall podium, and there was a crowd of patriots around the podium watching. The crowd consisted of many different ethnicities, and all were conservative. Standing on the podium was a tall, slim congressman interrogating Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was shrunken over and his back was crooked severely as if he was a hunchback. Mitt Romney was on the defense, and the congressman was very charismatic in proving to all the people that all of his deeds of corruption. The congressman was proving to the patriots watching that Romney was indeed part of the election interference. That doesn't surprise us, does it? Romney was very scared, trying to weasel his way out of trouble. Again, I was in my room all of a sudden saying to Garrett, "Look at the TV and see how crooked Romney's back is. The evil that is inside him is manifested outwardly." And as we were watching, the congressman said to Romney, "You said you were pro-life, but you clearly are not." I believe Mitt Romney said something along the line, I don't remember exactly. I voted for the abortion to be illegal after the 50th week. The 50th week, okay. I didn't really know what that meant, as that is past birth. Yes, it is. Maybe time reference to an event that will take place. Well, we'll see. Yes. Okay, moving on to this dream concerning pestilence here. Same dream. No, excuse me, another dream. I had another dream the same night. I prayed and asked God to show me things that are coming to pass just the day before. In this dream, four kids were holding hands, jumping up and down, and singing a song. The song was "Ring Around Rosie." They were singing "Ring Around the Rosie," pockets full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. That was the dream. It was very brief and to the point. That song was a song that was sang around the period of the bubonic plague, also known as the Black Death. Okay, a hint there from the Lord, you know. We've been talking about this, and it's something obviously worse than our COVID, okay? And the ashes, of course, we have shared dreams about the snow being stained and dirty looking. And that could have something also to do with judgment. And then he shares this revelation, and on 12/1/20, and in it, Biden dies. Again, that's not a surprise. We've had a couple dreams about that. In this dream, I was driving a yellow Volkswagen Beetle. It was in the hometown where I was raised in Maceo, Kentucky. I was driving down a straight and narrow road that as a kid, I often ran down training for cross country. In my passenger seat was a woman trying to seduce me. And he later speaks that this was probably the harlot. Yeah, the harlot church is also seeking to seduce Christians. And they're kind of leftist themselves, right? And, you know, the faction is very leftist. It's trying to seduce Christians and to destroy them with slander, just like the deep state, because they are deep state and they are part of the dragon. Okay. I believe she was older, and as I continued driving, she was distracting me. And at the last intersection before the road ends, a car pulled right out in front of me. They were in the wrong, as this is not a four-way stop. We crashed right into the driver's side of that vehicle. Inside, angry and hurt, was Joe Biden. I believe that this Christian, you know, hitting Biden is basically what's going on out there, not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. He got out of the car mad and injured, and so it will be. But I knew that even though he was out of the car walking, he was severely injured with blunt force trauma to the head. And I felt that he had died. Well, this is, I think, about the third dream that I've heard of him dying. The method may not be literal, although there are people that would like to knock him in the head, I'm sure. It may not be literal, as a car represents our way, our modus operandi, and he is definitely in the wrong and putting himself forward in this election scheme, and he's going to get run over. I believe he has outlived his usefulness to the deep state, and he's actually a heavy weight to them. They really wanted Kamala in there anyway, right? That was their plan, I believe. So, anyway, he knows too much. He talks too much. His enemies hate that. He told on them. He told on himself, you know, for goodness sake. So I think this clone has got a battery loose somewhere, you know. Anyway, after waking up from the dream, I pondered on what it all meant. And I really believed that something may happen to Biden. And also the old woman is the harlot. Thinking more about the dream, I thought about the road I was on, and the Lord brought to my attention the name of the road I used to train on, and the name is Kelly Cemetery Road. I used to live at North Chestnut Grove Road, and my road intersected with Kelly Cemetery Road. And I would often run to my friend's house during training. Okay, Cemetery Road. Well, let's talk a little bit about famine in the land. One of the ways in which Babylon, which we're calling the deep state, uses to bring down the Christians and America. They've been working very hard at it for quite a while now. They've been doing a lot of weather manipulation to destroy the crops, burning up granaries, burning up silos, doing things that you, and of course causing farmers to, you know, dump their produce out on the ground feet deep. You know, they've done everything to try to bring down the food. Communists do that. They want to control you by controlling the food. So I believe that when they lose the race, their revenge will come, as we saw in Isaac's dream. Babylon was a type of our deep state. Both were and are the great eagle. Ezekiel 17 speaks of the great eagle of Babylon. And Babylon brought into captivity the people of God, as in lockdowns, shutting down churches, keeping you out of businesses without your mask, keeping social distancing. All the businesses have to have a lot less people in them, and doing their best to destroy the economy, right? So we know that Babylon conquered the people of God, especially the apostate people of God, by the sword, famine, pestilence, and fire. That's what it says in the Bible over and over and over, as though it was a prophecy for us, which it is. I said on our website and the broadcast on the foundation of these scriptures that I'm going to share with you, and many dreams and visions 3 years ago, that the deep state leftists would use Antifa, BLM, and the anarchists to burn cities and churches, which I just was shown today. Matter of fact, churches being burned today, and kill people represented by the sword that they have. Deep state would spray pestilence from planes, I said back then, and they have. The deep state also used DEW weapons to burn cities, they have. I said one more thing that has not yet come to pass, but will: famine. And they've been building on that and working on that for some time. Jerusalem, in these verses, was the apostate, in other words, backslidden, leadership of Israel representing the church. That's right. Jeremiah 32. And 36 says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say, it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence." Yes. And what's going to be proven, what's already mostly proven, is that most of this has already come to pass in one form or another. But it will still be coming to pass in a worse way, and especially, I think, with the pestilence and the famine, okay, and the sword, okay, more so. Jeremiah 21 and 7, "And afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, a well-known apostate leader of God's people who led them astray and led them into captivity because of his evil." And that's the way it is today. The leadership of the church today is leading them into captivity, you know. I mean, the tribulation is coming. Why does the tribulation come? It's a tribulation. It's a trial for the apostate church to bring them to repentance. And even before the tribulation, we're seeing this. We're seeing this now. "I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah." That's the apostate leadership of the churches. "And his servants and the people, even such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy." I mean, they burned down a whole city called Paradise with their DEW weapons. They burned up men, women, and children. Smoked them, you know. They don't have any pity. They're murderous. They love to sacrifice to their Lord Satan, and they're all going to be found out. Jeremiah 21 and 10 says, "For I have set my face upon this city for evil, and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire." There it is, burned with fire. Jeremiah 34 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, the apostate leadership of the churches, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Okay. 2 Kings 25 and 9, and he burnt the house of the Lord, that's the churches, and the king's house, and all of the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house. Oh, even the prosperity preachers. Oh, my. Burnt he with fire. They burn the big churches down. Jeremiah 52 and 13, and he burned the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house, burned he with fire. So let me say that we need to get ready for the famine, the sword, the pestilence, and the fire. Yep, I know we have seen some of this, but I don't think it's over. In fact, I think it's going to get worse. Okay, and especially the part about famine. Here's a dream given to Sandy Shaw on November the 26th, this 2020. And we just called it famine, loss of housing, fires, question mark. It's obvious that people in this dream lost their homes and were seeking food anywhere they could find it. And Don and Merlene transcribed this for Sandy. The way this dream starts, there are women and children in our front yard. Then I see some pop-up tents already set up. There's a line going to my front door. The living room looks different, and there are no chairs. There are quite a few blankets from floor to ceiling. Boxes that had supplies in them and pop-up tents. I believe I shared a revelation with you about poisoned masks falling to the ground. I hope I'm right on this. I lose track sometimes. From planes that were blaming it on Trump because they had Trump's logo painted on them. And, you know, these blankets reminded me, if you remember the Indians that the deep state poisoned with disease, smallpox, if I remember correctly, to kill them and wipe them out. That was all proven. See, these are some very evil people. You know, they have to come down. Only God can do it. There are quite a few blankets from floor to ceiling, boxes that had supplies in them, and pop-up tents. Well, I can guarantee you these will be clean and good for the people. Sue Gilbert was working at a table, and she was writing down the names of the children and their ages, and then handing out supplies according to their age. Myself and Merlene and Gaynold were in the kitchen making sack lunches. We put either an apple or an orange and a sandwich and a juice box in the bag. So providing for the people in need around us. Then I started to hear some arguing, and I went out the side door. There were two ladies arguing behind their kids. I walked up to the ladies and said very firmly, hey, we don't act like that around here. Both of you need to stop or you will be asked to leave. I asked the kids, could you behave yourself? No one said anything, and I said, I asked you a question. Can you behave yourself? They answered, yes, ma'am. Then I said, good. We're going to bring out some sack lunches in a few minutes, and if you don't behave yourself, you will not get a meal and be asked to leave. Now, I got to tell you, this does not sound a lot like Sandy. What you got here is a message from God hidden in this. The Lord is saying that some will not get fed because of their unforgiveness. I also believe that these women could very well represent the women and their children of the denominational groups. Yeah, because they are always arguing and divided. You know, Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one, and they've been dividing ever since, you know. So these are sects, divisions, strifes that the Bible calls works of the flesh, right? For which, of course, judgment comes. So I then looked at the women. I said, is that understood? They said, yes, ma'am. Christ would not want any of us acting this way. So it's obviously people that are, let's say, giving thought to Christ, or maybe claiming Christ, or whatever. I told the kids, Jesus would not have acted this way, so we won't either. And then I woke up. I asked for verses by faith at random, and got verse 13 of Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we, of course, are expecting Jesus, not like the apostate church is expecting him. We're expecting him to show up in his people. And the first fruits are already prepared to do this and to bring the rest into this image of Christ that is promised in the scriptures. And, of course, they don't know it because their preachers never told them and they never went and looked for themselves. So, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Oh, my goodness. And purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. Amen. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. A good exhortation for those arguing people out there who are not at peace. This is another dream given to Isaac Payne on December the 1st, this 2020. And we just called it, God Brings the Leftist Predators Down. In my dream, I was walking in the middle of a gravel road between two crop fields. The field on my right was soybean. Well, I think right is should be emphasized here. You know, Jesus put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Soybean has a good food value. It's a valuable food. For those on the right, the sheep. And the field on my left was corn. Okay, so you got the right and the left. And I might say, too, don't know if everybody agrees with me on this, but I believe that I have read that corn has a very low food value. And that's, of course, on the left. The leftist food, spiritual or physical, is a very low value, especially if they sit in front of their TV set. goats. Goats will eat anything, you know. They don't have to have food value. They just eat it. They just swallow it. And Jesus put them on the left. So we can see today why he put them on the left, right? The road was narrow and as long as the eye could see. It's a narrow road. The fields were plentiful and the crops were growing healthy. In front of me, about 50 yards, were my chickens. And they were walking single file on the road. Very obedient chickens. And, you know, gee, there's a lot of people you can't get to do that. Anyway, as we continued to walk, we came upon a big tree on the left side of the road. It stuck out, evidently. And it was before the crop of corn. In other words, between the road and the crop of corn was this big tree. Do you remember the tree of Babylon that Daniel saw? Had to be cut down, didn't it? He went on to say the tree wasn't in the left side cornfield. No, of course, they don't eat the same food. It was actually closer to the road, just on the left side of the road, of course. All of the deep state are leftists, right? Not sure why. Well, I say that they want to turn those feeding on the low-value corn from the road. Just a guess, but that's what I'm thinking. The chickens darted single file to the cornfield on the left. Oh, no, naughty chickens. I caught up to the chickens because I didn't want them going into the cornfield. Well, there's no knowledge of truth. You're talking about food here, there, which is to us knowledge, truth, and so on. Spiritual. There is no knowledge of truth where the leftists are. They have a low-value food. In fact, in most cases, it's totally worthless. Wouldn't keep you alive, right? And it doesn't. As they were standing on the edge of the cornfield, I heard a rustling in the corn, but couldn't see what it was. At this point, we were all standing between the road and the cornfield. Suddenly, out of the left cornfield came a raccoon. You know what a raccoon is, right? He's a thief with a mask on, right? And tried to snatch one of my chickens. I don't know, have you ever seen some of your family that's been watching TV and shouldn't be, and they're spouting leftist things that, no, no, you haven't, you're not in the know. Let me tell you what's really happening here, right? I'm sure you've all run across that, because they really don't know. And I tell them, you should not listen to that garbage, you know. I scared it away, and the raccoon retreated in the cornfield. Well, of course, on the left, right? Then it popped out again to grab another chicken. However, the other chickens came to the aid of what seemed to be a younger chicken. In other words, more ignorant, not very knowledgeable, right? Let us tell you the truth here about the leftists. And their predators, right? See, they don't even know they're predators, you know, in some cases. And I, again, scared the coon off. That's what we call them down south, is coons. That's for short. And the biggest thing anywhere around is coons. They're the biggest threat to chickens, right? Anyway, gaining knowledge of what is really going on between the left and the right, we're able to warn one another. And yes, sometimes the only thing some people will hear about what's really going on will be from you, right? Because they don't know. They don't know. They've been watching the news all their life, and they're still watching it, and it's dragging them down a road of destruction. Then, once more, the raccoon came out amongst the corn and tried to snatch another chicken. But then I grabbed the raccoon and held down so it could not move. I couldn't pick the raccoon up, which is kind of dangerous, I got to tell you. They're not exactly tame animals unless you do it by feeding them day after day after day. Like one guy I saw on the internet, he had dozens of them coming to eat. He was feeding them hot dogs, and they just loved him. They swarmed him and didn't bother to bite him or nothing, you know. So they can be trained if you feed them good. I feed some out the back door sometimes, and they tried to get into the bird seed up on the pole, but we greased the pole, and they couldn't get up there no more. Did go out there one day, by the way, and saw four of them stacked up like a totem pole, before I greased it, that was, to get around the hat that I had below the seed holder. And the hat was like a garbage can lid, wide enough to where that they could reach out and grab it, but it would just drop them on the ground because it was on there loose, you know. But they're smart, boy. They stacked up on that thing to get around the thing, and they were getting around it. And that's when we decided we're going to grease that thing because they're very particular about what they get on their paws. It got to be clean. They're real cleanly creatures, you know. That stopped them. They couldn't stand it. They slid down that thing a couple times and realized what they had on them, and they didn't never come back. Not to that, anyway. Anyway, going on, I could only restrain it, and so I held the raccoon down to make it submit. Suddenly, I was transported to another segment of this dream. Not sure if it was a dream within a dream or just another segment. But in this dream, I was in the back of a blue car. Blue means heavenly. Sedan type style. The sky was a deep red and scattered dark red clouds. I was watching as I could only see the person's right arm turning the steering wheel wherever he wanted the car to go. The arms were that of a very strong man. I knew that it was God driving the car. He had his left arm out the window holding the raccoon by the scruff. You can't make this stuff up, folks. The raccoon was totally submissive and didn't even bother trying to escape or resist. God can do that to you. You can't get away, right? Well, God will take control of the leftist thieves with his left arm of judgment. You know, God's got a right arm and a left arm. The right arm is what he deals with his saints with. The left arm is when he wants to give them a spanking. I learned that. The road that the arms of God were driving me down was sort of curvy at the beginning, but then became straight with rolling hills. So it straightened out. The further God took the coon, the more the road straightened out. So just remember, a coon is to chickens what a wolf is to sheep, right? The deep state predators are going to lose. God's got them by the scruff, okay? Not that they're not going to do some damage. Not that they're not going to bring themselves down with it, too. The crooked road where the leftist thieves were trying to take his flock was made straight. Okay? Remember, it started out crooked, and it got straightened out. And it's getting more and more straightened out, by the way. The laws are changing, so on and so forth. They're locking people up. They're taking away their money, on and on and on. So the leftist deep state is being brought into line, I would say. But they still have the ability to retaliate. Again, we were on a paved road, this time between two crop fields. The crop field on the left was barren, and parts of it were on fire. Okay, well, does that mean that they're still going to be burning their own cities? They're brilliant. Burning their own cities down. Again, you could see that the fire already ravaged the left side field, and the remaining fire was only remnants scattered across the left side crop field. You know, as we've said from the beginning, their curses are going to come on themselves. You know, the Lord says, I will curse them that curse thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. And he was talking about Abraham and his seed, right? And it's the truth. Those that curse God's children become cursed. What they send, they reap. God sees to it. Look, they're burning their own cities, tearing down their own businesses. Even people who complain, hey, Black Lives Matter, we're black people. Look at our business. This is our business. What are you doing? Didn't make them any difference. They'd shoot them, burn it down, because they're just anarchists. They're just claiming that name. It doesn't mean anything. Matter of fact, most of the Black Lives Matter people are white, for goodness sake. You know? Well, he went on to say there wasn't a single standing crop. Literally zero fruit was available on the left. That is. That doesn't sound like their food that they've been feeding is going to last very long. I could see in the distance a tornado was moving on top of one of the rolling hills in the left side of what used to be a crop field. The tornado was dark and had much debris circulating in it. Yes, if it's going down that field, that left crop field, it would definitely have a lot of garbage. And the tornado, of course, God takes credit for the whirlwind in the Bible. He takes credit for the tornadoes. They're his power. He can do what he wants with them. This tornado was moving left to right. It never did quite arrive on the right, but it was going through the left. Okay. On the right side of the field, it was still very plenteous and bearing much fruit. So you can see here that there's no fruit on the left. There's plenty of fruit on the right. Well, that's what we see out there, right? That's pretty obvious. And, of course, there's some people on the so-called right that are secular people and don't have any fruit, you know. But this is talking about the right and the left, basically. He's just bunching them all together. All seemed well in this field, but I could see the tornado was ravaging through whatever was left in the field on the left. Yes, it was ravaging. God's power is plundering the leftists. He is taking their income. He is stealing what they stole from the people in their underground cities and in the wars that they started to make money and in the drugs that they made to eventually keep people sick so that they could keep on making them pay for their livelihood, you know, and all the things that the wicked left does. At this point, the field was basically mud. God made mud out of them. I could see the right arm of God steering the car towards the tornado. I wasn't even remotely worried. But as I was being driven, we were at the slope of the last hill where the tornado was on top. At this slope, there was a lake in the left side of the obliterated crop field. The place where he made mud out of them, right? I saw the left arm still holding the raccoon by the scruff, and the arm was just slinging with great authority the coon into this lake to drown it. You can't make this stuff up, folks. At this point, both of the arms were steering the wheel as we drove up the hill towards the dark tornado as it made its way through the left and was still traveling towards the direction of the right. But that was the end. It never actually made it to the right. And I think that this was a demonstration of the returning the fear of the Lord and his power to those on the right. Because I believe this is going to bring a revival of people turning to God. I'm talking about people really turning to God. Not religion, but really turning to God. The people who have said all this stuff is coming all along is God's people. The people who have said, nah, everything's going to be fine. It's no problem. It doesn't matter who goes into office. You know, now, they're going to know these people lied. And it does make a difference. And God is saving us, you know. So, here's a revelation that was given to Dana Coverstone. You've probably already read it. So I'm not going to read the dream. The dream's pretty long, but I have a summary of it here that was posted. And his dream was about December and January. That's pretty close, huh? December and January. You know that our just-in-time supply chains, they can go awry pretty fast. They can crumble in a very short time. And, you know, that's what they've been working on, is breaking these supply chains. In fact, in his revelation, you can see that the supply chains are broken. The food getting to the people is not getting there. In his revelation, there are no ships moving with goods. Emergency shelters were being put up. Heat and lights were missing from people's homes. Long food lines. Flickering lights. Depression. No sign of Christmas. Oh my. That was in this revelation. Now let me say, the Lord has told us that through prayer some things would be lessened, but he could not take them away, because he wants to use these judgments to remove people that need to be removed. That's what he told us, and we've stuck to that. We haven't tried to pray them down. We've just asked for mercy for the righteous. And the revelation that we just got, we just went through, on the right, we can see God's mercy for the people on the right. Amen? So, thank you, Father. We can see God is a blessing. So let me just share this summary of what was in Dana's dream. He saw the calendar page for December and January, and his finger was slowly underlining it as if pushing it. He saw long food lines, people standing in lines, not in cars. Oh, my. I just got to tell you, when things start breaking down, your supply lines, as far as electricity and so on and so forth, you can't even go to a gas station because you can't pump it out of the tanks. If you could get it there, if the supply lines could possibly get it there, you still can't pump them out of the tank. So people were standing in lines, not in cars, waiting for hours throughout the nation. Well, the deep state has owned most of the nations, has bought up most of the nations, so they can do some damage, okay? And I'm not saying that behind the deep state, behind every vessel of dishonor, there is the Lord himself. He is in control. You have to remember that he's a sovereign God, okay? There were no ships moving between countries. Saw ships in port on both the east and west coasts. No trade moving around the world. There was a headline, Baltic Dry Index is dead. Okay, that's a measure of the economy because of the ships that are moving stuff and the shipping of supplies, and it was dead. No signs of Christmas sales. No Christmas displays. You know what they've said in the liberal cities is that we're not going to have Christmas this year. That's right. That's what they say. Of course, they're anti. Now, I'm not a Christmas person, but I believe people ought to have the right, and I believe that God even can use Christmas to warm someone's heart, even though it's ignorance. But I believe God can still do that. Christmas, of course, doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It never did, If anybody wants to research the history of it, they'll see. But some people say it doesn't make any difference about the history. It's what we believe it is, okay? God doesn't agree with that kind of thinking, I got to tell you. But he is weak to the weak, and we should be too. We shouldn't judge people. As I've always said, you can't clean a fish until you catch him, right? So we shouldn't judge people over such things. There's more important things to talk about, right, than harping on something like this to make divisions. But anyway, I believe the people out there in their ignorance, the masses of Christianity, believe that Christ was born on Christmas Day and so on and so forth. But there was no signs of Christmas sales, no Christmas displays, no Christmas lights, no Santa Claus, no Christmas events going on. Great sadness was over the land. Again, I'm reading a summary here. People seemed very dazed and very confused. Christians that stood out because they had faith and hope in Jesus Christ. In other words, they were out doing their thing, telling people, Jesus, you need Jesus, right? They appeared like burning coals, were carrying their torches wherever they went, and did not back down on their faith. They told people, you need Jesus now. You need Jesus now. You need Jesus now. So true. Hard times have a way of making people listen. What looked like shopping malls that had been converted to emergency shelters. Like the football stadium after Hurricane Katrina. You remember that, huh? That was a deplorable situation, right? Businesses were shuttered in the malls. Properties were shuttered. People in coats in their homes with closed curtains looking out. Coats on in their homes. No warmth in the home. No electricity. Maybe no gas. I don't know. Dirty, dingy, and gray snow on the street. That's what I was talking about. From fires, that can happen. They can do that. Volcanic eruption, yeah. We're also expecting large earthquakes to come in the not-too-distant future. And that, too, can cause volcanic activity and, you know, the fallout, of course, can make the snow gray and dirty. So the snow was not pure white snow. A headline. Nationwide outages plague the Southwest. Headline. Americans do not know who to blame for the darkness. Well, I can tell you who owns most of the refineries and things like that that keep, you know, truckers going and so on and so forth. You know, it's the oil men, the banksters, the deep state, etc. You know, they can shut things down pretty quick, pretty easy. Lights were flickering. There was darkness in all states. It looked like America was like a light bulb flickering and about to go out. You know, I don't know if this has anything to do with this, but it's a possibility. The only dates that I'm seeing people stick up for the flyby of Planet X is like March and April, and maybe even early May. I don't know. It's been said for quite some time that when Planet X flies through, it's going to upset the sun, and the sun will send a kill shot to the Earth. That's completely possible. Even without Planet X, we've had kill shots that came to the Earth and knocked down parts of the grid. It would definitely, you know, set us into the dark ages. You know, so that's a possibility because we're not very far, and it's actually as it passes around the backside of the sun gets upset before it turns to come between the sun and the Earth. So that's a possibility, you know. And that kind of an EMP. Basically, can take out vehicles and a lot of other things. So, anyway, that could be one reason the cars are not there. Just a thought. Fat vultures with rotting food hanging out of their mouths was one of the points that was made. A figure of depression with a face mask with a smile choking people and pushing them down on the ground. The people with the face masks are vindictive in some cases if they run across somebody who trusts God and don't think they got to worry about and can prove actually that they don't have to worry about this particular disease. So these vindictive people are usually leftists, right, and ugly and abusing people. I do know about a particularly elderly lady who was pushed down to the ground recently by a leftist who was angry because she wasn't wearing a face mask, etc. So, you know, the communists, they want to control. They have to control. They've got a controlling spirit. You either do what they want. It doesn't matter what your vote is. It doesn't matter. They don't respect votes any more than the Islamists, the radical Islamists respect a vote. They simply want you to listen to their opinion. They don't have to have proof either. They just have an opinion. Okay, so they don't even look at the proof. So that's the way these people are. It's a demon spirit. It's a demon of faction, witchcraft, etc., hatred, anger, slander, on and on and on. So here's another point. The St. Louis Arch, people standing under it with very expensive suits. What are they protecting themselves from? The men had what looked like nuclear suitcases, and then an alarm went off. The men all got into black SUVs, of course, and went east and west across the United States. The men had a Wall Street Journal newspaper under their arm and darkly tinted sunglasses. Okay. Does it sound like somebody's wanting to bring down the economy, which is what the deep state's been trying to do? A headline, market crashes. Wow, there it is again. Headline, sympathy for the swastika. I can see that. You know that they invaded our CIA, which is a leadership of the left and of the deep state. These Nazis were brought over in Operation Paperclip because they wanted their knowledge of how to kill people. Yeah, right. And they had plenty of knowledge of that. They were successful. They were dealing with demons that they thought were aliens, and they had a lot of inventions that were supposedly given to them by aliens that the CIA wanted, what now has become the CIA, wanted, okay? Sympathy for the swastika? That would be a hatred of Christians and Jews. Because just remember, twice as many Christians were killed by the Nazis as Jews. Yeah. So, tired people? People who had lost the resolve to fight? And that's what they want to do by weakening people, you know. Group of Christians traveling around and reminding people, remember what Jesus said about needing to flee in the winter. Winter. So it's in the winter. You know, Biden's been talking about a dark winter. He's been prophesying. These people always like to prophesy things, you know. Or make you think or that they know something. I don't think he knows anything. But they do know that a dark winter is also a practice that they had, which was practicing for a release of a plague. That's what they were calling the practice. The dark winter. So, anyway, Bill Gates, of course, he loved to prophesy these nasty plagues. Him and Fauci, they're buddies, by the way. They went through school together, and they're both like wanting to wipe out a lot of people. And with their inoculations, take people down, so on and so forth. Lights around the country. Churches were keeping warmth and hope in their communities. A white figure rose up and said, brace yourself. Brace yourself on the word and my promises, and do not rely on your own strength. The white figure, I'm guessing, could be the man child. People are trusting in themselves to save themselves, trusting in men to save them, and so on and so forth. Relying on your own strength would be a person accepting a vaccine to try to keep them from harm, and would bring great harm to themselves. I believe Trump knows this. I believe he's letting them spend their money by making a bunch of these vaccines, and then he's going to ask for the test results on these, and they don't have them, and they don't have them written down, and he's going to take them. He's going to dump their vaccines. There's things that actually work that are cheap. I'm talking about for lost people who don't know any better. You know, there's things that actually work out there against this disease. And we, of course, as Christians, we put our faith in God. And boy, I tell you, he preserves, he keeps, he delivers. It's better not to have it than to have it and have to get rid of it, right? He said, I'll put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right? A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Put your faith and trust in God. Don't trust in men. They will disappoint you. Right? Dreams have had a different caliber to them. This one, he said, left him more shaken. Three things that stuck out to him in this dream were the long food lines, the people in the emergency shelters, and the Baltic Dry Index being dead. Sounds bad. Sounds like famine to me. So, and he says, get prepared with food, water, guns, and ammunition. He does make a comment about the guns and ammunition that he's not talking about going Rambo, he says, but something to be able to shoot food with. Okay. And along with this, posted at the same place, Laura McDowell wrote this. If you look back on Z3 News, after praying and reading my Bible, I had a dream that I posted long ago about seeing a shaking at a Jiffy Lube oil, a shaking at grocery stores, and then a dam breaking. You know, which we've also mentioned, you know, a couple of revelations about dams breaking. Pretty nasty stuff. And them placing the homeless in empty shopping malls. Okay. The first two parts of this dream have come to pass. The oil dropped below zero. The grocery stores had empty shelves, which we all saw. And, of course, we'll see again. Okay. Now a dam is going to break, she said. The Holy Spirit also showed me a bomb dropping out of a plane onto a city and power being knocked out in the entire city. Of course, they have bombs like that. They also can just use a fighter jet to do the same thing. Next, I was taken to the mountains and the power was on. I believe that's symbolic. She said, it's a selected power outage. The power was on in the mountains. I'm saying, I know a lot of people would take that physically, but I'm thinking that those who are in heavenly places in Christ will be spared. And there's a lot of things you might have to duck in the days to come, but we know that the Lord is our Savior, and He will take care of us. He will supply our every need according to His riches and glory, etc., etc. He supplies health, you know, very clearly in his word, even though an awful lot of apostate Christianity denies that, and they'll die doing it. Very interesting. Okay. I want to share a couple of more things here. This was a vision given to Marie Kelton, and it's all about the beast will destroy the wicked. She got this 11, 30, and 20. She said, during last night prayer meeting, which we had together, I saw a figure standing. It was right in front of her. I didn't know if it was an angel or the Lord, because all I saw was from the waist down. The figure had on a white linen robe. And as the meeting continued, Merlene asked to pray in tongues, which we do sometimes. And as we were praying in tongues, I saw the white figure, who was wearing a black satchel. It rested on his right side. And while we were praying, I heard, quote, writer's ink horn. Writer's ink horn. I heard this multiple times. And then I heard, smite the capitals. Okay. So she got this verse here, Amos 9, 1. I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, smite the capitals, that the thresholds may shake, and break them in pieces on the head of all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. There shall not one of them flee away. There shall not one of them escape. Now, this was said about the Red Sea, by the way. We've been calling it this judgment that is coming for the leftists, the Red Sea. And the Lord specifically says in the Psalms that not one of them escaped. Well, you remember the Samson option? It's been said that Trump is setting up the Samson option, which of course means to bring it all down on the Philistines' heads. See, it said on the head of all of them, the Samson option, bring it down on the Philistines' heads. Of course, meaning himself being Samson, even that if he had to go, he would go in order to bring it down on their heads. Okay, and I believe smite the capitals is emphasized here to speak of judgment on the apostate leadership and God's people. Chapter 8 and then chapter 9 begins with this judgment and progresses to the place where it says, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, and then, 2, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. We've been talking about this quite a bit. The Lord keeps giving us this revelation. That's what this chapter is about. It starts out with this smiting of the capitals, right? And the thresholds to shake. And then it goes on down to tell you how all this happened. David is going to bring down the Edomites. I know in a type there's a parallel between the man-child Davids and Trump, and that they're going to bring down the Edomites, the ones who hate their brothers. These brother Americans out there that want to kill you, they're Edomites. The ones in the church who have hatred for the people of the church, who stand strong and do not give in to their slander, These two, they're the same thing. That's what this is talking about. God's going to bring them down. So I looked up a writer's inkhorn. And that's Ezekiel 9, 1 through 11. It's a very good exhortation and a big warning to the wicked. Then he cried in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause ye them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came. Okay, well, six, of course, is the number of the beast. It's the number of man, right? The deep state beast comes to destroy apostates in the capital city here, we're talking about, representing the apostate leadership of the church and the false bride, so on and so forth. We've had revelations and shared them with you about the false bride, right? There are people out there that think they are the bride, and they are not. So, and behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lieth towards the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. Here's the sword that we've been talking about that Babylon uses to bring down the apostate leadership, right? His slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man in the midst of them, clothed in linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. Now, this is not a negative person. They're here to mark the righteous leadership with this writer's inkhorn. You know, there's a mark of the beast, and there's a mark of God. And the mark of the beast is in the forehead, which is the mind of the flesh, and in the hand, which is the works of the flesh. It's just the opposite. Also in Exodus 13 and 16, just like Revelation 13 and 16 speaks about the negative one, there is a righteous one in Exodus 13 and 16. And it is, again, in the hand and forehead. So, he's there to mark the righteous people. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub. Whereupon it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Now, who is it that marks in the forehead and the hand the righteous people of God? Well, it's the true ministers of the Lord. They give them a conscience. They be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not the mind of the flesh, it's the mind of the Spirit. Who tells people how to live? The mind of the Spirit and the works of the Spirit. So this mark is something that actually happens. There is a mark of God for the people of God who do sigh and cry all over all the abominations that are done in the midst, right? They see this, they don't like it. They grieve for God's people. They grieve for God. Verse 5. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye through the city after him and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. So those six and six. Verse 6 I'm coming to right now. Here's another six. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, and the little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and that's the mark of God, and begin at my sanctuary. Oh, there's some people that are going to die. You understand? They're in the way. They're leading people wrongly. They're teaching people wrongly. They're taking wrong authority that is not theirs. Leftists do that. They take authority that's not theirs, etc. God's going to remove some people. They're resisting his will in the earth. Then they began at the old men that were before the house. That's because they should know better. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and smote in the city. And it came to pass, while they were smiting, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy wrath upon Jerusalem? And, of course, that was apostate Jerusalem, like Zedekiah ruled over. It was always judged. Righteous Jerusalem's never been judged. You'll notice that in the scriptures, too. Hezekiah, for instance, you know, it wasn't judged. Instead, the beast was judged. 185,000 of them woke up dead. Yeah. Notice that the wicked under them in Israel, a type of the church, are included. But verse 9 says, then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of resting of judgment. Yes, resting of judgment in the city, because the city was their capital city. It was where the heads of tribes joined together to make the laws and to rule over the people. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the land, and the Lord seeth not. Yeah, there's a lot of Christians out there that act as though God's not looking. All of the factions that way. Because they've got demonic spirits that are, you know, amazing. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Amen. Okay, I got another revelation here. It was given to Eve Brass. God's got a solution. He's got some helpers coming. Okay. And let's see. We called this very quickly, Bride Translates to Help the Suffering. Eve Brass received this on December the 3rd of this 2020. She said, I dreamt that I, and I believe she is representing the larger bride here, was driving to David's house, representing the David man-child body, okay? But his house was my second husband, Rodney's house, underline Rod, Rodney's house, her second husband. She, of course, had a physical husband, but this is a second husband, and it probably represents the man-child. Because like John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The man-child was teaching and raising up the early church fathers when he said that. And she says, Rodney's house is a play on words. And she gives Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Well, there was that rod in there. Did you notice that? The rod of iron. Great authority is going to be given to the man-child to rule over the beast, over the harlot, over the Edomites, as David did, ruled over the Edomites. These are the wicked that have persecuted God's people. As I was driving, a very tall, muscular man that I knew in the dream was an angel assigned to David. appeared in the passenger seat of my car. That should be surprising. He told me that it was time for the Lord's plans for his people to move forward. I was happy, thinking, well, it's about time. And the angel just smiled and let out a partial chuckle and shook his head a little. You know, he knows we're so ignorant. It's about time. Well, to us, it is about time. But, you know, God's right on time, you know. And the angel knows that. He knows God's always on time. Don't worry about that. So I think that's why he's chuckling. Just my personal opinion, you know. When I arrived at David's house, it was located in Texas. Well, Texas means friends. Friends. Let me tell you something about David's house. The people there are friends. They have a lot of love for one another. Where my mom and dad's house is currently located on a cul-de-sac. The angel escorted me into the living room, but remained by the front door guarding the entrance. You don't want to mess with one of these guys, I tell you. There were other people standing over in the kitchen that I knew were from local UBM. Yes, it was a place of friends, right? They were just waiting around and casually talking with one another. Yes, you should come to one of our meetings one time. You would just hear the love that people have for one another. They come together before we get started, and there's just a roar going on. You can't hear what's going on because everybody's talking to everybody, you know. They love each other. They're friends. And as I stood in the living room taking in the scene, David came into the living room wearing a richly colored plush robe. And she has in parenthesis, kings wear robes, and the righteous are given robes of righteousness, which are the righteous acts of the saints, and so on. In the dream, David looked just like John Luc Picard from the Star Trek The Next Generation series. I didn't ever get to watch any of them. I watched the original somewhat, a little bit, but I didn't watch any of these. I've been out of touch with TVs for a long, long time. I found this information concerning the name Jean-Luc when I was looking for the meaning of the name. Jean-Luc means one beautiful soul. He is dependable, loyal, so entertaining, and the best friend someone could ask for. He is complex, but worth the effort. He is a devoted, unselfish man. He is constantly giving, never thinking of himself. This is, again, a good description of the man-child, I believe, the David man-child. He deserves the world and so much more. No one could ever not love him. Jean means God is gracious. And David has often taught about the disciples of Jesus and all those that followed being the last generation, the 42nd generation. Mm-hmm. As we were all waiting on the Lord in the living room and kitchen area, suddenly David's angel came towards us hurriedly and pointed with urgency towards the opened front door, saying, "You need to leave now because the Lord is sending you on assignment now." I understood in the dream that times had become desperate for the masses. This is what we've been talking about. Poverty and famine and desperate hunger had come upon the masses. We followed the angel out the front door and into very bright light. When God wants you to know where you're going and what you're doing, it's because he's put you in the light, right? It was so bright that we couldn't see anything around us. As I went through the front door, I was taken up with the angel into a warp tunnel of some sort. In other words, I believe this probably means translation to places. I don't know. A place to translate from one place to another, probably, because she goes on to say, he began explaining everything to me as we traveled. The angel was translating each of us simultaneously around to different assignments that the Lord had for us to do. Now, we've had a lot of these dreams about translating. I think it's happened to me about 3 times. And I'm not going into explanation right now, but the angel was translating each of us simultaneously around to different assignments. We've had dreams about that, different brethren being translated here, translated there to do something or to help someone or to bring someone back with them, you know, which I had too, revelations like that about bringing people back. People stood around me in a vision of my own, and we would translate. So, you know what? There's going to come a time when you can't get on a plane for more than one reason. Maybe they're grounded, like in this case, most likely. Maybe they don't have jet fuel. Maybe they don't have electricity. Maybe different reasons, you know, EMP type thing, you know, different things. Or maybe just because you're an outlaw and they won't allow you to get on a plane. So, and this all occurred above the earth. It was like everywhere we went was a different realm above the physical earth, like a whole other world that existed in the heavens and parallel to the earth below. We are from above while dwelling in the heavenlies, while those who are from beneath, as Jesus called it, dwell upon the earth. They're earthly. They're from the earth, right? John 3:31 says, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is of the earth, and of the earth he speaketh. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Amen. He went with me and took me to a hospital where I was assigned to a day surgery unit as a surgical technician. This is what I've been trained to do for the last 30 years, and it represents all of the spiritual life training that we've received from the Lord over the years to serve His kingdom and His people in these last days. Amen. Jesus was prepared for 30 years before he was anointed to begin his ministry. And, of course, I've always said that the church is supposed to be like a hospital in that it heals and delivers people, right? Delivers fruit, you know, babies. You know, so the church is much like a hospital, and operating on souls with the sword of the word is something that the church is supposed to be doing. Okay. She says, as I worked with my new workers, they were all very impressed with my skills and how quickly and efficiently I worked and for my knowledge and understanding of my trade. I was commended by the surgeons and staff and my supervisor. I was quickly promoted to the larger surgical department across the street that was associated with the day surgery unit and was assigned to the neurological department and was helping to do brain surgery on many patients. Well, there's a lot of people needing brain surgery of spiritual type, right? And, of course, this is representing giving people the true gospel, which changes their minds and gives them the mind of Christ, right? Romans 12 and 2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, brain surgery, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, amen. So we can see that most of the church needs brain surgery, and all of the world does, but they're not all going to get it. But at any rate, this is an emergency, and in a bad time, in a tough time. People are needing encouragement. They're needing the renewed mind of Christ to keep them stable and to keep them walking in the faith and so on and so forth. They need this. I wasn't sure where the angel took David and the others on their assignments. I already know a couple of places I'm going to go by translation and what the purpose will be and so on and so forth. But anyway. But as he was taking me on the next assignment that the Lord had for me, he was telling me of all the hunger and unrest and misery of people that was going on in the world. And then I woke up. The hunger, unrest, and misery of the people. In other words, they needed some help, and God was doing this. Now, God can do things with angels, but He prefers using humans to do things, even if the angels gift them, empower them, translate them, so on and so forth. He always likes to use the gifts of the people to do this. You say he could do it with the angels, he could, but he doesn't. He chooses to do it this way. I asked Father for a few words for this dream, and the first one I got, my finger was on, quote, glorious things are spoken of you, or thee, right? In Psalms 87 and 3. I will give 1 through 6 in context. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion, which is the bride, right? Jerusalem, the bride. More than all the dwellings of Jacob. Jacob, of course, was Israel representing the church. The bride is more valuable to God than the church. The bride is capable of being used in this way to help the church. The bride represents a first fruits of the church, right? Other than the man-child, who is the first of the first fruits of the church. But the man-child, David, as you know, ruled over Zion, which is the bride, and he was also a part of Zion. He was the leader of Zion. So he was both a part of the bride and also a ruler over the bride, which was over the body of Christ, which is the church. Yeah, I hope you get the drift of this. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. That's the bridal city that bears the glory of God, from which his word will go forth from, the Bible says, and so on. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon as among them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. Notice, the pagan nations are going to come to know the Lord. And why? Well, he mentions in the context here something about the bride, the glory of the city of God. There has to be a demonstration of Christianity. And let's face it, the reason the world has such disrespect for Christianity is they've never seen a very good representation of it. That's the problem. They're bringing a bad name on the Lord. And he says so. So he makes mention of these pagans that have come to know the Lord. I'll make mention of Rahab and Babylon as among them that know me. Oh, praise God. You know what? Hard times like this, people come to know the Lord. You say we want to do away with the hard times. No, we want to see people know the Lord. That's more important. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this one was born there. Yea, of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her. Yes, you have to be born into Zion. You have to be born from above into Zion, which is the Word of God. That's what makes the bride beautiful to the Lord and important to the Lord and valuable in the work of the Lord, is the Word lives in her, which is what the glory of God is. See? And her text was, glorious things are spoken of you, right? The Most High Himself will establish her. Well, of course. So she's as precious, right? The Lord will count when He writeth up the peoples. This one was born there. Yeah. We must be born into the bride, the city of God, by assimilating His Word in us. Remember, He is the Word. What else would His bride look like if she was valuable to Him but the Word? This is true. We are born from above, and so is the Word. The manna that came down out of heaven represents Jesus. He said so. Right? And who is He? The Word. I asked Father for another word, and my finger was on, it should not fail, in Esther 9 and 27. In context, 23 through 28. Yeah. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai, which means little man or man-child, right? As Mordecai had written unto them, he is the leader of the people of God in this story, and in the end times too, because this story is a parable of the end times. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them. And of course the faction is these people too, because we keep getting Haman as like the leader of the faction. Haman was the leader of the faction against God's people and wanted them destroyed. And the faction is evil. The one in the government and the one in the church, they are evil. They are parts of the dragon who seek to devour not only the people of God, but the man-child in Revelation 12. But they fail, of course. So God's not going to permit that to happen. But they still think they can do it. They had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when the matter came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, which is what the Lord has given us about the faction for so long, that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. In other words, they are cut off from the breath of life, totally reprobated, dead while they live. Wherefore, they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and that which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so that it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to the writing thereof, and according to the appointed time thereof every year. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation. Why is that? Because it's so important for us to understand this is what's going to happen in the end times. It's what is happening in the end times. Okay? Every family, every province, every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the remembrance of them perish from their seed. Yes. And, you know, Eve asks, and I don't really know the answer, will these things occur during Purim of 2021? I don't know. Okay. I don't know whether the day will be used, but I can tell you the parable is being used. It's been used by God. We get it many times in our morning prayer meetings. The Lord speaks it to us, gives it to us many times, because he's encouraging us that this is going to be the end of these wicked people that want to destroy his people. And it's like Marie Kelton's Revelation 2. Same thing. Those that are mixed among the people of God who have no conscience towards God or destroyed. You know what a conscience towards God is? It's that you're humble to his word. Amen. I asked for a third word, and my finger was on. There shall be a fulfillment in Luke 1 and 45. For context, 41 through 45. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Amen. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Amen. For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Yep, John the Baptist was excited about the coming of Jesus. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall, and this is where her finger was, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. Well, what did the Lord speak to her? That she would be the mother of Jesus. She would bring forth the fruit of Jesus. And if a person believes, of course, they can do the same thing. And they can be a part of the bride. They can bring forth the fruit of Jesus by believing. What do we have to believe? Well, we have to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Well, we can look in the mirror, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, and behold the glory of the Lord, and be transformed into that same image from glory to glory. What is that? Bearing the fruit of Jesus. Only believers can do this. And there's a lot of Christians, but far less believers. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. Oh, wow. Yes. And also, she gave Revelation 12, 1 through 12, which I'll try to read quickly here. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. Now, of course, people think this is Mary and Jesus, but it was written quite a long time after Mary brought forth Jesus. And John was told, come up hither and I will show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter. So you see, Mary and Jesus were a type and a shadow of what is to come. In a corporate level, we know that because Jesus in John 16 said that he was coming again as a baby born to a woman. Yes, he did, John 16. And when you look through the book to look for that, you come to it right here, Revelation 12. Jesus living in his people is what he wants. Amen. This is what we're called to be. Christ in the earth. The body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? Jesus. Now you can tell who is the body of Christ and who isn't the body of Christ, because Jesus lives in the body of Christ. You understand? There's a lot of people who say they're in the body of Christ. Jesus lives in the body of Christ. And she was delivered of the child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Yes, this is the seven-headed, ten-horned dragon, right? Having seven heads and ten horns. And it wants to devour this child badly, because just like Herod, you know, killed all those babies to try to get Jesus, the dragon tried to kill the man child. And the faction is the part of the dragon that's trying to get its teeth on the man child today. And Trump is a parallel to that. Yeah, same thing. And upon his heads, seven diadems. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. See, the prophet that speaketh lies, he is the tail, we are told. And these liars are pulling people down from their heavenly position. The faction is deceiving people, causing them to lose Christ in them, the hope of glory. Anybody can look and hear and listen to what they say, and you know Jesus does not live there. And at one time, he did. A third part of the stars of heaven. Remember, the stars of heaven are Abraham's seed, right? So, a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, out of their heavenly places, out of their positions in the heavenlies. They lost it. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child too. That's the man child. Ain't it going to happen, dragon? And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod. There's that rod again, a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. That is the position of authority. You know that Jesus sat upon the throne of David, which was called God's throne, but it was on the earth. Think about that. Some people think that the man-child is going to fly away, and just when he becomes very useful, he's going to fly away, go to heaven, leave the rest of us poor schmucks down here on the earth, this mud ball, you know. Come on, man. Come on. The Lord's never raised up a man-child in the Bible that he did that with him. No. The authority, that's what they go to the throne for, is the authority, the rod of iron. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her. That's the man-child. Where did Jesus nourish the people? Jesus, the man-child? In the wilderness. It was called desert. It was the same word. And 1,260 days, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred with and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They've been kicked out. You hear that, you people of the dragon? You've been kicked out. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, the one who tried to deceive Eve in the garden and was successful. He that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And actually, the seven heads and ten horns are the whole world. They are his body. Like the body of Christ is his body. There's Christ and there's Antichrist, right? the deceiver of the whole world. So don't let the deceivers out there who claim to be Christians and want to slander the man-child to deceive you, don't let it happen, because you'll lose your place in the heavens. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Notice angels. The devil has angels. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Who is the accuser of the brethren on the earth, who is the body of this dragon? The faction is. They are the accuser. And it's them always that are doing the dirty deeds. Oh my gosh. Who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. That is, the overcomers overcame the devil and his children. Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. In other words, they are dying to self in order to be in a position to be a part of this glorious body. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Yes, and he's one of the great reasons for the tribulation. Remember, he was whispering in Jesus' ear when he went into the wilderness too, right? Well, he's there to do the same thing. There to do the same thing. He's a wicked devil. He's out to deceive and to destroy. But thank God, he is cast down. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for this warning, Lord. We know that we're in the midst of a war that's going on. It's pretty covert, but it's real, very, very real. And there's going to be refugees from this and people dying from this, and quite a few, as a matter of fact. And Lord, we just thank you that you are the glorious Savior. You know exactly what you're doing. We put our trust in you. We trust you to keep your righteous saints. They are needed on this earth to spread the good news in the fruit of Jesus Christ all over the earth. Thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So get prepared, saints. I'd say get some food in your houses and be sure and multiply it for your neighbors. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus used food twice to make food. He multiplied it. And you can do that too. I've done it by the grace of God, and I'm a nobody. So, you know, you can do that too. But be sure and reach out and take care of people, because giving is the way God gives to you, right? Amen. All right, God bless you, saints. I love you. Keep me in your prayers. Thank you. Good night.